book of Colossians. Colossians this evening, we'll be looking in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 tonight. This evening, and we'll be in verse number 7, but to just grab a little bit of the context, let's just go back to verse number 4, Colossians 2, 4, and we'll read down through 7. The Bible says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." What are you rooted in? That's the message tonight. There's a lot to be said about roots, a lot to be said about how deep they can go in some cases. Amazing. Roots are an amazing system. What are you rooted in? What's your root system like? We as believers should be rooted in Christ. Let me say that again. Very simple proposition tonight. We as believers should be rooted in Christ. Colossians 2:7. Rooted and built up in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. In who? Christ. In Jesus. We should be rooted in Christ. Have you ever dug up a stump before? Some of you ladies are like, "I don't know, I never have." But some of you ladies, yeah, some of you are shaking your head. "Yeah, I've dug up a stump." I'll tell you what, digging up a stump is not easy. It's not fun, especially when you got to do it by hand. It's not easy work. But the stump is not the problem of you. It's the roots. It's what the stump's connected to. You can have a big old tree out here. Go ahead and just chop one of them trees down, one of them oak trees that's been sitting there for 150 years. You can cut one of those down right there. It won't be no problem. In fact, I could take a chainsaw and cut that thing down in just about a minute and a half. It'd be gone. That whole thing would just be to the ground. But you know what? If I had to go out there and I had to dig it all up by hand, I'd be out there. And I tell you, I've been out there for a week digging up a stump before. I dug out one in our front yard, and I dug, and I dug, and I dug. Finally, after I got it all dug up, my neighbor came over and said, "I could have dumped that with the backhoe. Thanks for telling me now. You know, it's too late. It's already out." I remember one time we cut down a tree, and that stump was down in the ground, and my neighbor came over, and he did have a backhoe this time. I didn't try to dig it up by hand. I'm only stupid once, try to be at least, and so whenever he was digging that thing up, man, just a little bitty tree about this big around, and man, he was pulling and tugging on that thing, and it would pop and bend and bow, and the whole ground would move, and that he couldn't get it up. And so we dug around, picked around. Finally, we found a root here, and we got it. We cut it off. We cut that root, and he started picking and pulling and trying to get it up again. Still couldn't get the thing up. Now the root was connected to it. Finally, after all was said and done, we got all the roots cut, and he reached down there with that backhoe and went to pull it out, and he still couldn't get it. Still couldn't get that thing. And so we dug and picked and dug and picked, and you know what? We found one little root about this big around, holding that big old stump into the ground. That thing would not come up out of the ground. One root was holding that big old stump down in the ground. We cut the stump, cut the root, and the stump came out. You know, if I could convince you tonight, if I could convince you of having one root in your life, if there was one root that was making you hold on to life itself, I would tell you and I would try to convince you to be rooted in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Isaiah says it like this: "In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." The root of Jesse. Who's the root of Jesse? Revelation tells us the root of Jesse is Jesus Christ. He is the root of Jesse. He is the branch. He is the one that is a root out of a dry ground. It's Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. Hold on to Jesus. You may have a lot of other roots that are cut out from underneath your life, but if you've got holding on to Jesus, you'll be built up and established in the faith, and you'll be abounding with thanksgiving. Abounding. That's exciting. That's good news for us. I just can't understand why Christians can't get excited. Amen? I'm going to get excited about a ball game and used to get excited about a NASCAR race and get excited about, you know, four-wheelers and fellowships and food and all those kinds of things. You ladies like to get excited about a baby shower. And one of my girls said, "You ever been to a baby shower, Daddy?" And I'm not trying to pick on anybody here tonight. I said, "No, I've never been to one. I've never been to one. I don't get excited about those things. You know, girls do. Man, bridal showers, all those kinds of things." Mary's back here smiling right there. She's not even married, not going to have no babies for about 20, 30 years. Not going to get married for at least 20 years, you know, or something like that. She'll be in her 30s, you know. She can't be married anytime sooner than that. She's excited about those kinds of things. I mean, there's the, you know, like, we get excited about all kinds of stuff, don't we? Why don't we get excited about Jesus? Amen. I woke up this morning with a song in my heart. You ever wake up, God just puts a song? I mean, as soon as you wake up, God just puts something right in your heart. The mercies of God. Mercies of God. So great. They're so great. They're wonderful. There's no reward that you can give for them. So mercy, so what? Constant and sure. Aren't you glad that the Lord's mercies are new every morning? Great is thy faithfulness. Aren't you glad when you woke up this morning that God said, "I'm sorry, checked out, no more mercies today," amen? He didn't say that, he said mercy today. Praise God, my friend. What's the problem? Why aren't we excited about it? I'll tell you why. We're not rooted in the place of God. We got our roots going all over the place. In fact, the Bible is very clear to us. There are actually some bad roots in life. Did you know that? There's some bad roots that you can get a hold of. I was amazed when I went to God's Word and started studying about the roots. God has a great concern with this issue we'll call rootedness. I thought that was a word I was making up. That's a real word. Rootedness. Rootedness is what it is. God wants to expose what your root system's like. Let me ask you this. If God started digging around in your heart and exposing your root system, what would you find? Would he find bitterness? Would he find idolatry? What would he find down in there? Would he find murmuring and complaining? Those are all bad roots. Or would he find love? Would he find faith? What would he find? Would he find good fruit that's bearing out? God wants to expose us. Did you know that if a plant or a tree or even if a blade of grass does not have a good root system, it will die. It'll die. I got some St. Augustine out here in my backyard, and some of it didn't take this past summer. Got too hot for it. I went out there just a couple days ago and I just pulled it right up. Just pulled it right up. No roots. Now I've got something that's took real good. I go over to that St. Augustine, you can't pull that stuff up. I mean, it's settled in, it's all intertangled and twined and everywhere all over the place. I've gone in the forest before. I've been in the woods and walking all by myself, and I see a tree, maybe about the size of your fist or size of your leg or something like that. I see a tree just kind of dead. And I've just gone right over that tree and just pushed it over. Why? No root system. No root system. Didn't matter how tall it was. Didn't matter how big it was around. It just had no roots to it. It's what you're rooted in. And listen to me tonight. Is that before you can be fruited, you got to be rooted. Before you can ever bear any fruit, you got to have some good roots. Jesus, one time the prophet spoke to the king and he said, "The remnant that is escaped out of the house of Judah shall yet take root downward and bear fruit upward." Here's the thing I'm saying tonight. Have we taken any root downward? Have we taken any roots? How deep are our roots in Jesus Christ? Roots that will hinder our spiritual growth and make us totally ineffective for Jesus Christ are listed in the Scripture. Let me say this right here real quick. What is the purpose of life? I agree with a lot of things our founder said. One of the things our founder said that I don't agree with too wholeheartedly is this, is all men are created equal. Alright? Now I understand what they meant by that, but here's the thing. Is that not all of us got the same brain capacity. Or the same strength. Or the same abilities. Alright? That's just the brass tacks of it. Not all of us are exactly the same. But another thing they said is that one of them wrote this. They said that we all have life, liberty, and the pursuit of what? Happiness. And I understand what they meant by that too, but here's the deal. Is that if we get our minds settled and focused on that, the purpose of life is the pursuit of happiness, I'll tell you what, you're going to be an unhappy individual. You're going to be an unhappy individual, especially as a Christian. Especially as a believer in Jesus Christ, you will not be happy because here's the thing. You're not rooted in what? Christ. In Christ. Our root that we need to have the most effective hold of in the night is our rootedness in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The purpose of the believer is to be living a life that's pleasing to Jesus Christ. That ought to be your number one purpose as a believer in Jesus Christ. Is to live a life that's pleasing to Jesus. That's your purpose. Now what flows out of that purpose, we could talk all night on. We could look at different things. We could see all the different things that come with that. But here's the thing. Your purpose as a believer, one and solid, is this. Jesus Christ, pleasing Him. If the eye be single, it shall be full of light. It says. You can't conserve God and man. You can't look this way and that way. You can't serve happiness and man the Lord. You can't serve money and the Lord. You can't serve idolatry and the Lord. You can't serve people and the Lord. You've got to have one eye on the prize. Paul says, "I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus my Lord." I'm pressing. I'm moving. I've got my mind set on one thing. When a runner runs a race, especially a sprint, he's got his focus downfield. He's got his focus downfield. When a football player catches a football, every time he drops a football, especially in the NFL, they always say this. They always say, "I took his eye off the ball." That's what they say every single time. You see him running, and you can see the guy do it. I mean, every single time, especially if they're getting ready to score a touchdown. I mean, it's just like, it's just in them. You know what I mean? They see that ball coming, and they know it's coming, but they know there's nobody in front of me. And so they just, for one quick second, I just got to look at that touchdown. And what happens? Boom, drop the ball. We're talking about people that are paid $12 million a year. Listen, son, you're paid $12 million a year to catch a football, okay? Four times a game. Okay? Alright? That's all you're paid to do. Four times a game is catch a football. Son, you need to catch a football, okay? You need to catch the ball. Don't look ahead. Here's the thing, my friend. We've got a lot more at stake than $12 million, my friend. We've got eternity. We're not living for $12 million. We're living for eternity. Bad roots, though. There's some bad roots in our life. You always have bad roots or no roots or burned up roots. The first thing is this, Matthew 13, verse number 1 through 9, and I won't read it all here, but I'll tell you this, is that the number one reason why somebody has bad root system has nothing to do with the roots. Did you know that? The number one reason why somebody has a bad root system is as fact as this, is that there's nothing wrong with the roots. Matthew chapter number 13. You can take a perfectly healthy tree that has been out in the nursery And it's been sitting there being manicured and just being just a beautiful, healthy tree. And man, you can take that tree and plant it in the wrong soil, and you'll kill that tree overnight. Take a tree like that, take a beautiful, just a beautiful pear tree, a beautiful peach tree, and go ahead and try to put that off in the Sahara Desert and see what happens. I mean, you'll kill that thing overnight. It'll be deader. Deader than a hammer, as my old boss used to say. It won't be anything. It'll be worthless. Matthew chapter number 13, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he tells about the parables of the soil. In Matthew chapter number 13, in verse number 1, he tells us this. He says, I can find it. He said, behold, in verse number 13, verse number 3, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Those are the people that you tell the gospel to, and immediately the word is gone. Ever told somebody the gospel that just immediately it seems like the word is snatched out of their hearts? That's the devil coming. He says, some fall on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. You see, they were on a rocky soil. A rocky soil. We live on rocky soil out here. I planted a couple trees. You know what they tell you to do? They tell you to actually dig a place that's two times bigger than what you're supposed to dig out here. Why is that? Because you replace that old rocky soil with good soil. And if you can get that tree settled in a nice, good soil, it will eventually go off down into that rocky soil and find some nourishment. But not at first. Not at first. You better have some good soil in there. The problem with most people's life is this. The reason why they're not bearing any fruit, the reason why they've got a bad root system, is because, just simply, they've never believed upon the Word of God. Just saying. I tell you, you'll never have a good root system if you're not rooted in Christ. If you're not in the right soul, look down to verse number 23. It says this, but he that received the seed into the good ground. Who is this seed that receives it into the good ground? It's those that hear the word and understand it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now, don't get lost in this 130 and 60. That's not the point. The point is this, is that what soul are you on? Are you listening to God's word? Do you understand it? Are you understanding that there's only one way of salvation? That's through Christ Jesus our Lord. Believing upon Him alone. If that's your case, if that's you, then guess what? You've got a chance. Amen? You're rooted in a good soul. You're in a good soul because you've heard the word of God. You've understood it and you believe it. Jude 1:12. I tell you though, there's some bad roots out there for us believers. You can get a hold of something bad things. Jude tells us one of those. Turn over to Jude. I'm going to have you flipping all over the place tonight. Hope you brought your Bible. Jude chapter number 1 and verse number 12. Look what he says. He says, these are spots in your feast, these ungodly teachers are. These false prophets, these ungodly teachers. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, trees whose fruit withereth, whose without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. A bad root system. One of the surefire ways to get off track in your Christian walk is to start listening to some ungodly teacher. Some unbiblical teachers. I'll tell you, that'll mess your brain up, my friend. And it's hard to get false doctrine out. It's only by the Holy Spirit and the grace of God that not more of us are filled with it. It's hard to wash your brain. Some people say, well, you're getting brainwashed down at that church. Well, some people need a good brainwashing, you know? Their brains have been full of all kinds of ungodly, wicked stuff all their life. They need a good washing of the brain, don't they? And some of the things that people watch some nowadays. Man, you need a good brainwashing. Made your mind clean. Jesus can do that, my friend. But notice in verse number 16, you say, well, I don't really listen to those. Well, let's just turn over a little bit to verse 16. He says, who are these men? Who are these people? He says, these are murmurers and complainers, walking after their own lusts, their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. You know, a root system has a connection of roots. And one of the offshoots of ungodly teachers is this, complaining and murmuring. complaining and murmuring. You can tell, I can tell you right now, one of the quickest ways to get off track of serving God is to start complaining. You don't believe me? Read Numbers. Read Deuteronomy. Read Leviticus. Read Exodus. See those people. I mean, they just complained and murmured, and every single time they complained and murmured, you'd have about 3,000 or 4,000 people die. The easiest, the fastest, the quickest way to get off track from serving God and have a bad root system is to complain and murmur. And not just to complain and murmur, complain about authority. Complain and murmur about people in your life. Complain and murmur about your relatives. Complain and murmur about anything. Complaining and murmuring is something that God hates. And the people murmured, it says, and complained, and it displeased the Lord. Numbers 11:1. It displeased God. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. You're right there near it. You can turn to it real fast. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. We're talking about a bad root system. 1 Timothy 6. What is a bad root system? Look here, verse number 10. I wish I could just take the time. I've got so much to look at tonight. I wish I could take the time and preach from 1 Timothy 6 to verse number 5 all the way down to verse number 17. That's what it's all talking. That's the whole thing I'm trying to get to you tonight. A bad root system, though, is this. I mean, if there is not a verse in the Bible that lets us know what a bad root system is, I'll tell you right now. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 10 tells us plainly is a bad, evil root to have in your life. What does it say? For the love of money is the what? Root of all evil. It's the root. I mean, there's not a Bible, better Bible verse than that. I mean, there is one. Maybe there's one more. Hebrews 12:15. We'll look at it here in just a second. But listen to me. I mean, this is an evil root system to love money. For those that love money, they covet after and they err from the faith and they pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Charge them that are rich in this world, verse 17, that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may hold on eternal life. You know the best way to be happy with your money? Give it away. That's the best way. I've never missed one dime I ever gave to God. Never one. Never one. Okay? Love of money. That's a bad root. Do you love money? Do you love money? You know if you do. What about Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 12. We're just flipping backwards here. Hebrews chapter number 12. Actually, yeah, flipping backwards just a couple pages. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15. What does he tell us here? Well, he tells us another bad root. You know what's funny about a lot of these roots? They're just like roots. So what do you mean? You don't see them. You don't see them. Love of money? How can you see love of money? You can't usually see it on somebody. But you know if you got it. This one right here, I'll tell you, this is right here. If there is a root that drives further down the ground, that tries to hide from everybody and everything is this one. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If there's a root that goes down deep that nobody sees, nobody even notices it. Nobody even is able to tell if it's there. Nobody's ever able to say, it's that root of bitterness. But just as sure and just as fast and just as deep as it goes, I'll tell you this, one of these days, it's going to spring up, just like it says. Springing up. It's going to come up out of the ground. It can't stay down into the ground too long. It's not going to be able to. That root of bitterness is going to come out, and it always comes out in nasty language, doesn't it? It always comes out in words and in bad things and in bad decisions. That's what it just pours right out of us. The root of bitterness. I must hurry on. I got so many of these roots to look at. Root of idolatry. Deuteronomy chapter number 29 and verse number 18. I won't spend long with this, but I do want to read it to you. He says in Deuteronomy 29 verse number 18, Moses is talking to the children of Israel. He says, lest there should be among you a man or a woman or a family or a tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. I'll tell you, you get somebody in the camp that's worshiping idolatry. It's worshiping something else other than Jesus Christ. It will spread like wildfire. Look over to Daniel chapter number 4 and verses number 23 through 26. In fact, I would like for you to turn to Isaiah 5 and verse number 24. Isaiah 5, 24. I want to turn to Daniel chapter number 4 and verse number 23. In verse number 23, the Bible says, speaking to Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel says to him, and whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass around it, and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with dew of the heaven, and let this portion be with the beasts of the field, till seven times pass over him. In verse number 26, it says, and whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom, he says, shall be sure unto thee. After that, thou shalt be known that the heavens do rule. What is this root? What's this talking about? You know what this is? The root of pride. Why was Nebuchadnezzar cut down? What was his problem? P-R-I-D-E. That was his problem. He was cut down to the stump. Praise God, he didn't tear out the roots, sir. Amen. He left the stump and he said, put a band around it. Let that thing just stay there. Let the green grass grow up around it. Let the dew fall down on the earth. But one day he rose up again and God blessed that man. Because why? Because he humbled himself. What is the, how do you change about? How do you turn off? How do you turn about on a root of pride? I tell you what you do. You be humble. You be humble. And you praise God that he didn't rip you all the way out. Amen. They didn't tear you all the way up. How many of you know right now that God would have been righteous and just tearing your life down completely? How many of you know that? You believe that? You see that? God would have been totally righteous and leaving you with this one arm, maybe. I mean, just totally tearing us apart. That Nebuchadnezzar saw, he humbled himself. You're in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 24. This one right here caught me off guard. It's the root of those that despise the word of God. You know one of Israel's biggest problems, and you read Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, one of the biggest problems, they had a lot of problems. They had a lot of problems. He said one of the biggest problems was that they took their children and they took it to a god named Moloch, whose hands were hot like fire, and they offered their babies on that right there. So I'd say that's a pretty bad sin. But you know one thing that keeps getting mentioned and brought up chapter after chapter is that they just simply didn't listen to God. They refused to listen. Prophet after prophet, person after person, thing after thing kept coming up, and they just did not listen. They wouldn't listen. It says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 24, he says this to them. He says, therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. Why? Why is that? Why is it they're going to have a root that's like rottenness? Look what it says. Because they've cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and have despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. They've despised it. They said, we don't want nothing to do with that. We don't want to listen to that word anymore. We're done with that. And we're done with God. We're done with the Bible. We're done with all of that. One time in Jeremiah chapter number 42, the people come to Jeremiah and they say, Jeremiah, give us the word of the Lord. And he says, okay, I'll give you the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord was this. They said, should we go down to Egypt or shouldn't we? And Jeremiah said, nope. He said, the word of the Lord. He said, in fact, he said, I'm going to go 10 days away, even though he already knew the answer. He already told what the answer was about 3 or 4 chapters back. But they again, they come to him and they said, that's the way folks are. That's the way we are, aren't we? We come to God and we say, God, we need an answer. And God gives us an answer. And maybe 3 or 4 days later, we come back and say, well, God, I need an answer. He says, I just gave you an answer. We come back to him and he says, now give me 10 days and I'll find out what God's word is on that. So he goes to God and fasts and prays and comes back and says, here's the word of the Lord. He says, don't go down to Egypt. Stay here in the land. God will take care of you. But then he says to him basically this. He says, but I know that you've already dissembled in your hearts. And the moment you came to me and asked me what is the word of the Lord, you had already turned away. You're not going to do what I said to do. And you know what they did? They put chains around them and they said, that is not the word of the Lord. And they said, you're going down to Egypt with us. They drug him. They drug old Jeremiah down there. Horrible soul. It's the root of those that despise the word of God. And I'll tell you, something that will rot your root system out, even as a believer, or rot it out, is not listening to God. Not listening to His Word. Okay, what's the examination? You say, how do I know if I've got a bad root system? Maybe I'm not convinced yet. Well, here's the thing. What's your fruit like? What's your fruit like? That's how you know. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 10. John the Baptist got his head chopped off because he just went out there and preached the word of God. Told old Herod that he was wrong for taking Herodias, your brother's wife, to yourself. And it says in Matthew 3:10, John the Baptist says, now the axe is laid to the fruit to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What's the examination? What's your fruit like? What's your fruit like? Are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing any fruit to the Lord? You say, what does that mean? What do you got? Any love in your life? Any joy? Any peace? Any long-suffering? Any gentleness or goodness or meekness or faith or temperance? Having self-control? Do you have any of that flowing out of your life? You got any fruit to speak of in your life? Those are the bad roots. Like I said, I could preach all night. I won't, though. I'll try to stop sometime soon. I don't know. Good reason. What should I be connected to? What should you be connected to? What should the root of my life be? Say, well, I want to get out of this life. I want to get good health. I want to get a good career, a good marriage, a good kids. I can get those things. Maybe some good times, a good weekends, maybe a good vacation, maybe a good church, good memories. You know, all those are good fruits, but ain't one of them a root. None of those are a root. We get it mixed up. We think these are the things that are our root system. We think these are the things. That's why I said earlier about being happy. We think that's the purpose of life. But we get mixed up and we think that's what it's all about. My friend, it's not those are not. Those are the fruits that come out of a good root system. A good root system. And the only way to have a good root system is, first of all, is to have it with God. God says in Ezekiel and in Jeremiah and Isaiah and John and all over the place that God is the only one that can root us and establish us. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman walketh, waketh, but in vain. It's God that must take root in our life. It's God that must work in us. It's God that must begin to build a good root system in us. You say, I'd like to do it. You can't do it, my friend. You're just going to have to go ahead and surrender to God and say, God, hey, I've got a lot of bad roots in my life. That'd be a good place to start. Just go ahead and admit it. Say, I've got some bad, I got a root of bitterness, I got a root of love, I've got some roots in my life. Maybe you've got something I didn't even talk about tonight, but you know it's there. God's putting his finger on it. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 3 and 12 tells us there's the root of righteousness. He says this is called the root of righteousness, living right. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Verse 13 says, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Verse 12, I should say, the wicked desireth the net of the evil, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. Good roots. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor what? Sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall, and he shall bring fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Why will he prosper? Why will his leaf not wither? Why is he going to bring fruit in this season? I'll tell you why. Because his root system is in the Word of God. It's in God's Word. It doesn't despise the Lord, but it is in God's Word. It's reading God's Word and getting God's Word in your brain and memorizing it and meditating upon it. It's the root of faith, like we just talked about, that we ought to be rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. Turning your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. I'm going kind of fast here. Because I want to get to a point here with this. Ephesians, chapter number 3, verse number 17. Look what he says. He says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in what? Love. What's the number one commandment? Anybody tell me?
Love the Lord
thy God. Yep. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might. What is the second greatest commandment? To what? Love as thyself. That's the second greatest commandment. Love. If your root system does not include love, you're missing part of the root system. You're missing it. Love is essential. Faith is essential. God's Word is essential. Doing right is essential. God is essential. All of these are intertwining together, working together, loving God with all our hearts and all our soul and all our mind. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I've talked to people before. I said, you think you're a bad person? No, I don't think I'm too bad. I think I'm all right. I said, well, the Bible says the number one commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. And so you think you've done that? I said, oh yeah, I think I've done that. Man, what in the world? Bold place lie I've ever heard in my life. Love God. You love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind your whole entire 100% days of your life? Really? Man. Nobody's ever done that. We prove it every time we sin. Love. Love our neighbor as ourselves. What's the golden rule say? We ought to do unto others as what they have done unto us. That's not what it says. Do unto others as ye would have them do unto you. Do to you. Likewise. Likewise. How do you like to be treated? Kindness, respect, love. Is that how you like to be treated? You like to be treated with hate? You like people to cuss you out? You like people to be mad at you? You like people to be angry at you? You like people to get on you? You like people to be... You like people to do that to you? You don't like it. And why do you do it to them? Why? That's not love. That's not God's love. That's a good root to have, my friend. We could spend more time on it. Jeremiah chapter 17, I'm just trying to show you some simple points tonight. We're not even going to get to the whole verse. It's just one verse, one word, rooted. Rooted. What you rooted in? What are you rooted in? Jeremiah 17, verse number 7. Look what he says here. He says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is in whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What is this fruit? It says, trusting in God. Trusting in God. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. My trust is in Him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Here's the thing. What are you hoping for? What's your hope in? It is not that if you answer anything else but Jesus Christ or Lord, guess what? You, my friend, you're already off to a bad start. Well, I'm just hoping to get better. We say stuff like that, don't we? Well, I'm just hoping that this works out. I'm just kind of hoping it all comes together for us now. Well, you know, that's how they talk back in South Carolina over there. I'm just kind of hoping it all comes together now for us. We're just hoping it all works out. We're just hoping it. But I'll tell you right now, my friend, the hope that we have does not rest in this world, but it should rest in Jesus Christ and God. And he says here, he says that if you'll do that, that even when there's a year of full drought, he said, you won't even stop yielding fruit. You won't even stop yielding fruit. You know what trees do, don't you, when a drought comes? You know what it does if it's got fruit on the tree? You know what it does? It goes into self-preservation mode. And it drops the fruit. I've seen them do it. Self-preservation. And then if that doesn't work, it starts dropping leaves. Self-preservation. Trying to preserve, trying to live, trying to stay on until maybe this thing comes through. He says here, it says a man or a woman that trusts in God. He says even when the worst of the worst of the worst times comes, guess what? They'll still have joy. They'll still have hope. They'll still have love. They'll still have gentleness. They'll still even have some peace left in there. They'll have a witness. They'll have some temperance. They'll have all of those things coming out. Why? Because they trust in God. Their hope is not in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. And then I've been holding out on you because I wanted to save the best for last. And I spoke to you about the beginning, but you better have Jesus as the taproot. You ever heard of a taproot before? That root that goes way down in the ground. You better have Jesus as your taproot. He's the one sure foundation. When it can seem like everything else can be cut out of your life, I'll tell you what, if you've got Jesus, you can always run back to Him. He can mend you back together. He can grow new roots. He can take away the problems. He can cut out the bad roots, and He can begin to grow new roots. You say, I haven't been very loving to my wife, and I haven't been very kind to my boss, and I haven't really trusted in God like I ought to lately. But I'm asking you this tonight. Is your root in Jesus Christ? Is it sure? Is it founded? Is it in Him? What's your answer? Is it yes or is it no? If it's yes, then guess what? God can come along and He says, just like that old parable, whenever He said that the master came to his servant, He said, tear up that tree by the roots and throw it away. He said, Master, He said, give me a year or so. Let me cut around it and dig around it. Let me dung around it. Let me put some fertilizer on it. Let me see if this tree will come back to life. Give it some time. Aren't you glad that Jesus has gives us time? I'm so glad. I'm so glad that whenever we just mess up and don't do things right, we don't love somebody like we ought to, and we don't do what we ought to do, and we get bitterness in our hearts, or we get idolatry in our life, or maybe we just get so focused on money, or we're not faithful like we ought to be. But God doesn't just say, well, you know,
get the backhoe.
Yeah, go get the backhoe and get this whole thing out of here. I'm tired of this thing.
Oh, what was it, sacrilegious to kick the ear of the Lord's table or anything like that?
Get it all out of here. Aren't you glad that he didn't do that?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, he says, Master, he says, Father, can I just, let me have a little time with this one, please. Praise God. He goes out. Man, he leaves the 99 behind and he goes and finds one little lost sheep, doesn't he? Praise God for that. I'm telling you, if you're not excited about Jesus, something's wrong with you. You got bad root system. I mean, you got some bad root system. And I'll tell you, I've got some bad root system. God's had to cut some things out of my life here lately. He really has. But Jesus, I'll tell you, he's the best root. He is the root. He's the root of the stem of Jesse. He is the root. He shall be a root of Jesse, shall stand out. And one of the elders said unto me in Revelation, it says, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. Praise God. If you can't get excited about that, I don't know what there is to get excited about. Man, judgment is going to come upon the face of the earth. And old John was just standing there. He said, I need somebody to open this book. There's somebody that needs to judge the world for its wickedness and its ungodliness. Who can do it? And he just began to weep and he began to cry because there wasn't nobody to take care of anything and right the wrongs and do what is right and have justice in this world. He said, there's nobody to open up the book. And he began to cry and he began to weep and he began to sorrow. And he said, wait a second. Praise God, there's somebody that can open the books. There's somebody that can write the last line of the chapter of my life. There's somebody that can raise the dead. Amen. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. As Jesus even said, he said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Did you catch that? I'm going to close with this. I'm about done. Listen to me. This is the important part. 2,750 years ago, Isaiah wrote, who hath believed our report? And to whom are the arms of the Lord revealed? And the Bible tells us that Jesus says, I am the root and the offspring of David. You ever looked at a root? You ever examine a root? It's just an old ugly thing, isn't it? And down in the earth. I go through HEB sometimes and I see those ginger roots over there. I think, who in the world would eat something like that? Ugly, nasty looking thing. All curled up, knotty. Nobody wants to eat something like that. Ginseng root. What in the world? Bunch of nonsense. Oh, I don't want that root. I don't want to touch that kind of stuff. Oh, but the Bible says that, speaking of Jesus Christ, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There's no beauty that we shall desire in him. And I'll tell you, preachers are saying the exact same thing today. There's no beauty in Jesus that we should desire in him. He was just a man, right? Is it beautiful for a man to hang upon a cross? With blood pouring down his face and blood pouring out of his hands and out of his feet. Is that beautiful? I tell you, it's not beautiful. That was an ugly picture. That was the worst depravity of mankind upon the face of the earth. That they crucified the Son of God. It was the worst crime that man has ever committed. They looked at him and they said, how worthless. How useless. He saved others. Let him save himself, right? They mocked him. They spit on him. They said, what a good is this man? Get him out of here. Take him away. We don't want nothing to do with it. They bumped it in. They hit him. They said, hey, Christ, who hit you? Who hit you? Come on, tell us. Tell us. Just a rude. Just a rude. But did you hear what else he said? He said he's the root of Jesse, but he's also the bright morning star. That's what he is. This root of Jesse, this one that's been disdained, this one that has received no accolades from this world that he deserves right now. He doesn't even get the proper nod or respect from sometimes his own children that he deserves. His own children, us, the church, I tell you right now, us the church, us in this church right here, don't give them the proper respect and the fear of God that we ought to. We don't love Him with all our heart. We don't love our neighbor as ourselves. We don't. We just need to admit that. Stop being prideful and say, I don't do it like I ought to do it. I could do better. I could do better. But I'm telling you right now that one day this root of David, that's what he's known for, is also going to be known and seen and experienced as the bright and morning star. And there won't be any question in that day who you're going to serve and who you're going to bow to and who it's all really all about. Again, I'm telling you right now, life is not about happiness or money or getting even or any of those things. Life, for a Christian, for a believer, is about Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what it is. That's the purpose of our life, to please the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The last time I checked, you're saved because He died for you, rose again, shed His blood for you, and you're not going to hell because Jesus Christ did that for you, my friend. Amen. And if you think that's not a good enough reason to live for Jesus, then I would doubt your salvation. Because here's the thing, my friend. I know I don't get it right all the time. And I know you don't get it right all the time. But I praise God He got it right all the time. I praise God so much, so much, that I'm rooted in Him, rooted in Christ. There's some bad roots that need to be dug out, my friend. You need to dig them out. You ask God, dig them out, God. Replace them with some good roots. Question I have for you tonight, what are you rooted in? Father,